Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This message is sponsored by Amazon.
I want to get back to kissing the cheeks of my grandbabies. Making Sunday dinner with a house full of family and lots of laughs.
COVID-19 has changed how we live and how we feel, but now there are vaccines. It's okay to have questions. Now get the facts. Visit GetVaccineAnswers.org so you can make an informed decision about COVID-19 vaccines. It's up to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, imagine if all your frustrations about advertising your business could be solved right now. You should know that podcast listeners are more engaged and higher converting than any other advertising medium. So try AdHub today and reap the rewards of Spreaker's self-advertising platform. It makes it as effortless as ever to be heard by thousands, regardless of the listening app they use. Visit Spreaker.com/AdHub. That's Spreaker.com/AdHub. And start using your advertising dollars in an impactful way.
Don't bring me down indeed. Right, we're back in the bunker. It's another week, it's another podcast. We grow ever closer to the end of the season. Notice how I'm not talking about stumbling or falling or getting closer to getting across the line, because let's be honest about it, it's as nerve-wracking as hell. But sure, that is the Liverpool way. Why have it easy when you can make it as hard as you possibly can? Tonight in the bunker, I've got Andy, I've got Steve-O, and I've got Sean, because as you all know, Sean lives here. But Sean did manage to get away for the weekend. We sent him over to the match, and he's in with a live report on how that went. He took loads of fan pictures. It was great. He got every type of fan picture you could think of. And we're going to talk about the game that was. We look ahead to, Jesus, another nerve-wracking game, but you know, something that should, in all honesty, we should be looking forward to it. But there, I don't think there's a single fan out there looking forward to these matches, these last two matches coming up. We're hoping and we're praying that, you know, that United drop points again at the weekend, and hopefully Arsenal drop points before we might have to play on Sunday, because we know 3 points seals Champions League for us. So let's get this show on the road. So let's go. Do that then. Right, so lads. These sweets are lovely, Andy. Just in case people are wondering what the chewy sounds are. Andy's brought in a range of lemon bomb bombs, cola bottles, fizzy cola bottles, and vanilla fudge. Now, interestingly, the vanilla fudge is vanilla fudge. Look, vanilla.
It's also best before that's a the, fifth, very... the 5th of March.
Vanilla fudge. Where'd you get this? Get this.
Is a stout like that, maybe?
No.
You just never noticed it before.
No, there's no I before the A in vanilla. There's a V before the A, all right.
Hopefully, did he spell cola bottles wrong?
Fizzy cola bottles.
With a K.
they're in, just.
Yeah.
They're all, well, these ones here. No, these ones, the lemon bomb bombs. They spelled them right, but it's just the vanilla fudge. Just jumped at me there.
Hang on, they're in D. You mess up.
They're in D. maybe it's not vanilla. Maybe it is vanilla. So if anybody knows what vanilla is, let us know. They are chewy. So if you hear a lot, we're not just thinking, we're musing over some sugar that's going on. Now, Andrew, it's great to have you in this evening. Thanks
great
for coming.
Great to be here after such
we
a
have
great...
Sean. Steve-O isn't here yet. That's just Steve-O. But he will be here. Sean, you were at the match last night, yesterday afternoon. And it was good to get you out of the bunker for a day trip. Let's be honest about it, you don't get outside that much.
No.
When we got rid of Trev, we had to find somebody else to take his tent in the bunker. And we pretty much refused to leave in case he came back. Right, you're at the game. How did you feel the atmosphere before the match?
Was it the lead up to the match? There was a good buzz around the place, like, and even I have to say the atmosphere was good. It died a little bit in the second half, but I think that was just anxiety and nerves as usual. Nil all, we needed a big win. But the build up to the match was a bit of buzz, and like in and around the place people seemed fairly confident
in and around
that we'd get the result. Mm. But Jesus Christ, it was the longest 90 minutes of my life. Mm. Absolute torged. That was brutal. Just one paced from the start.
Okay.
Predictable.
What was the new stand like?
It's huge.
Do you like it?
Yeah, it's actually my second time sitting in this season. I was fucking up on the gods. That's why I thought Bobby Madley was Lee Mason. Here he was saying that Lee Mason fella's a fucking dickhead. And the boys in the WhatsApp, that was Bobby Madley, John. So Bobby Mason, whatever you call him.
Bobby Mason,
yeah.
Right, Grant, Bobby Mason. Andy, you're watching it probably from the same distance as Sean was on television. I know you were looking forward to this match. You fancied the crowd to be up for it and us to be up for it to get the 3 points. So did you feel like from the off, were you a bit worried about the pace we were playing at?
Yeah. Like, I think in the first 10 minutes you could just see that this is it now for the whole game. Mm. Like, you know, when Liverpool set their intentions, you know, straight away, and like it just wasn't present.
Yeah.
And you knew it was just going to be another approach like they had against Watford last game out, Crystal Palace at home, Bournemouth. That's kind of what we've come to expect now. And
disappointing.
Yeah, Klopp is just going about his business now in a very young Klopp way. Mm. I don't know what to think of it. I haven't thought about it enough, but it's a little bit worrying because if you look back to when Rodgers started and he was all about on about his philosophies and his tiki-taki football, and we've seen some great football in 13 and 14, obviously, and then we got Champions League, and then he kind of went into himself. He bottled it, but he was afraid, like the challenge got too big. And you're reverted to a style of football that was just not us. Mm. Now, like, I'm not saying that's happening, but when you see a manager going again, a manager that's so passionate about his style of play and wanting to entertain the fans. Mm. I mean, there was no urgency to entertain the fans. There was no, it wasn't like the players were just nervy and decided to go about that, because we've seen it too often now. Yeah. And he's not on the touchline.
Jumping up.
He's not on the touchline kind of egging them on. No, like that could be seen as a quality in a manager as well, because he might know that he can't with the current squad and the injuries they have, and that he might be able to play that intensity of football or that style of football, mightn't have the personnel available to play that style of football, especially with the lack of pace and with Mane not there. But at the same time, it's just one of those things. Oh, sorry, what I meant to say was it could be a sign of a good manager as well, because he is very emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm an emotional fan, and I know when I'm emotional and worked up, I make bad decisions. Mm. Klopp isn't tempted to make the big wholesale change at halftime. Like, he's prepared to be patient and probably feels that there's enough there to actually sneak a goal.
Okay, and that's something I wanted to touch on tonight. Is it... There's two trains of thought on this. Like, decisive managers don't wait half an hour. Well, we'll give it half an hour, 45 minutes. And if they feel that something isn't working, right, they make the changes. And we've seen Klopp do changes at halftime last season, even this season.
Stoke.
Yeah, in the Stoke game, and say, right, we need something here, okay? Now, except that our bench hasn't been at its strongest during the season. But on Sunday, we had Lallana on the bench. Yeah. We had Sturridge on the bench. We've one of our stronger benches from an attacking point of view than we've had for a long time. And it just seemed to take an awful long time. We were playing against a team who had absolutely no ambition to come and attack us.
Yeah.
Had zero ambition to come and attack us. We had Lucas on the pitch, which was irrelevant, right? And he just seemed to take an awful long time to make a decision. In fact, Southampton made an attacking change before we did, and we really need to win that game. It's a home match. We've two home matches. We win our two home matches. We can afford to go to West Ham and get a point out of it, and we qualify for Champions League.
If there's any one criticism you could have of Klopp since he came in, I think the one thing it'd fall on that would be substitutions. And I was in the stand, says to me, "Brother, he won't make a change for 70 minutes here." And he did. He didn't. Like, he waited that long. And Lallana wasn't so good when he came on, but Sturridge, like, gave us that air of unpredictability around the box. Like, he was taking snapshots. He was trying shapes, you know what I mean, trying to get players off, whereas the 70 minutes previous, Origi just blundered us again the whole time. And that's our fourth time playing Southampton this season, and we've set up identical every single time, and we failed to get a result.
Andy, I made the point to the lads earlier on about this Southampton thing. Like, it wasn't like this is just suddenly, oh my god, I didn't know this, and it's an amazing stat. Like, this was being bandied around before this game itself, right? And the last time we battered Southampton, we played two up front and we went for them.
Would that have been the cup game last year?
When Origi and Sturridge played up front. Now, we know when teams come to Anfield now, all they're going to do is stack that defence. We've seen Klopp in previous games, back in March and stuff, when we were chasing points and we needed to get points to keep ourselves in this, and we were trying to put a few points because we knew we'd have games in hand, etc., 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 right?
Yeah.
He changed the shape around to try to throw teams off. Is there an element in your mind that there is a fear factor here because he knows how close he is to Champions League, achieving Champions League football?
Yeah.
He knows a defeat is disastrous and he keeps hitting the safe button, the safe button, the safe button. Rafa was guilty of this an awful lot when he was manager.
And Rodgers was guilty of it as well.
Yeah.
When we got to the Champions League.
But even
in the league games, safe mode. It's like, you could call it like a bit of a bottler.
Isn't the danger with going the safe way that you can actually end up putting yourself in more danger than having the balls and getting the points and getting the wins as quickly as possible?
Yeah, well, like, let's just treat it like, forget about Rafa and forget about Rodgers and whatever their motivations were for going safe. But Klopp's motivations for going safe might be that he hasn't seen the evidence in training or in the games we've played when he's tried to maybe have spells. Because, you know, if you look back to kind of November and October, we are playing really good football. Like, most games, it was kind of spells. Like, it was 20 minutes here and 20 minutes there, coming out of the blocks fast, finishing fast, that kind of thing. So we can't sustain that for 90 minutes. And we've probably in the last 3 or 4 months had 20 minutes here and there. Not even like one a game.
Only really seen it in the big games, like Spurs and Arsenal at home.
Onslaughts, like, you know. So at this stage of the game, maybe what he's doing is clever. He knows, see out this season. Look, we normally score at home, and he probably knows in his head, play the percentages, not concede the goal, chances are we're going to score because we normally score, right? That's fair enough. Like, it's results at the end of the day. Like, you know, we need to get this top four. It's so important, like, you know. And then everything will be reevaluating in the summer, and he can go back to his proper ways, because I'm sure that's not it, abandoned with the high tempo football. But the argument is there to do both. But if he does go all out, balls out, and try and play a system without the players he needs to do it, and we get beaten,
He's going to look naive.
It's going to look a bit silly as well.
Andy, how much though? Like, and Sean, I'll ask you the same. How much though does this come back to the players? Whatever about a high tempo game.
Well,
there's no excuse for how slow we moved the ball yesterday. Yes. We go side to side and everyone has taken 5, 6, 7 touches.
Yeah, but that's personnel. Like, Lucas was never one to really, like, get a touch and move it. You know, it's normally, he's normally played that role for us in defensive midfield where he gets the ball off a defender, has a few touches in loads of space and kind of picks out a 5-yard pass.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't really understand how... Like yesterday, if you look at Lucas, right, and go on to the stats all on the app. Not that we all do stats here, but like he kind of had about a 70% pass success rate or something like that.
It was all short.
It was all short though, mostly. No, it was passes in the final third. Like he was playing in a role that wasn't a defensive midfielder. Your defensive midfielder normally plays about 120 passes or something like that and then gets around the 90%+. But Lucas's role was way more advanced because he was in their third a lot more than he was in our defensive third, and his passes were going astray. They were getting cut out, you know, he was trying different threaded balls. So in my opinion, that's not Lucas, that's not his role. So why not play Chan where he was and then do Lallana change earlier?
Now,
why didn't he do the Lallana change earlier? We don't know. Maybe he's not fit.
He's definitely not fit.
Yeah.
I tell you one thing that I noticed yesterday, and it hasn't even been touched on because we kind of forgotten about him the last 7 or 8 weeks. We missed Henderson massively yesterday because he's great at recycling the ball and starting them attacks, because the amount of time where Bufal was just letting, like, they were doubling up on Milner coming down the left because they knew every time he's going to come inside. But Klein literally had the freedom of the whole of their right side. Cedric was tucked in and Bufal wasn't tracking. And the ball was on 9 times out of 10. And Lucas just hadn't got the ability to clip it in. Now, obviously, we see better from the stands. They're down on the pitch level. Every time we were calling for the ball. And it was like 5 minutes into the second half, Chan made the pass and we get in behind. And Klein fizzed the ball across the box. But he just wasn't good enough. And it was definitely personnel, like, because the thing is, Southampton had us, like, they had us down to a T. Two banks before. Now, they're not defensively a great side. They've conceded more goals than Osley. They knew what Milner was going to do every time. They showed Coutinho into his right the whole time, just into traffic. They just put bodies in front of him. Nothing he could do. He could only pop it off. And they knew Klein is so ineffective on the right-hand side that they were willing to give him the space. And they just neutralised us all over the park. Even with Origi, they just double up on him, they know.
This goes back to my point, right? Even forgetting about personnel and the whole lot, right? You've got enough players. We haven't mentioned his name because he just has vanished the last few weeks, but Wijnaldum is there.
He was terrible yesterday.
Like, you need a player, you need him. He stepped up in all the big games and you gave him credit for it and saying he's doing brilliant and, you know, he's really turned up in the big games. But since we've gone into this little bit of a fucking tricky spell, he hasn't been seen.
No, I agree.
But Wijnaldum was never, we never really had good performances all season with three centre midfielders. Like,
him and
when we are playing Henderson, Chan and Wijnaldum, or when we are, and now, like, it's Lucas who's involved in them. Wijnaldum and either Lucas or Chan, and then Lallana in the midfield. That's going to be where we see
Andy, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying in these games, right, we need players. These are the games, and I mentioned it a couple of weeks back, right? People look at the big games. They're the Sky matches. They're the Super Sunday games. Liverpool versus United. Liverpool versus Arsenal. Liverpool versus Tottenham. Right, they're the big games. But that's not the big matches that we're talking about now.
These
are the home games against Southampton. Yeah. The home games against Crystal Palace. The home games against Bournemouth. We look at the Watford game. That's a big game to us. And you know, Chan turns up there, scores it for us. Coutinho in the Stoke game, pings it. Firmino, fucking great goal in the Stoke game. You know, that's our players
making a difference.
And this is why we need our players like Wijnaldum to turn up in these games as well, because this is when we need the big goals. It's one goal that wins you a match here.
I don't disagree with you, but in his defence, he's been playing a role lately which he's getting picked up, and Wijnaldum hasn't really been picked up all season. Like, he's playing a bit further forward. Chan is playing kind of in his role and he's not coming from space anymore. He's not coming free. So he's not the type of player to to be finding space like Coutinho or Firmino are used to it. He's not a forward player. He's not used to finding space.
But he was. See, I would say to you,
Newcastle. Like,
but yeah, and in Holland, right. he was one of your top three. He was one of the fellas that was there to unlock defences, to be a number 10, to create that space, to create that threaded through ball, and be a creative player.
I haven't seen, like, I've admired Wijnaldum all season and how he's played for us and the role he's played for us and what he's been for us. I haven't seen the Newcastle Wijnaldum. He was always popping up with assists and goals and stuff. Like, I don't never watch Newcastle really.
No.
Like,
another thing,
but
that
you
was,
could see it. Like,
another thing that was noticeable yesterday is there was one player on the pitch yesterday who was good enough to go out of his comfort zone and try and make it happen, and it was Chan again. It's Wijnaldum was poor yesterday, and Coutinho was also poor yesterday when they come on, because when they're asked to do stuff that they're not used to doing, they just couldn't come up with it. Every time Coutinho does come up with that bit of magic, it's the same thing. Cutting in on his right, 30 yards out and sticking in top in. Yesterday he offered us nothing. Origi, nothing. Milner, every player that we asked that we needed something from yesterday to just do something out of the ordinary, didn't do it. He brought Sturridge on for 20 minutes again. All of a sudden, when the ball's going up, Yashid is dropping off the yard. The other centre-half is dropping off the yard. Their full-back's dropping off the yard because he has that unpredictability. He has the ability to do teams. And he, same thing happened again. He done Yashid on the edge of the box. Got the right and the shot off. It was very similar to the goal, the chance that he had against Watford. We need someone like that in the team. And to be honest with you, I think he's the only player who we have. He's so vital to this running. Whether Klopp doesn't like him or doesn't see him in his long-term plans, he needs to use him in these next 2 games.
It was very strange how Origi now has played 3 or 4 matches in a row through the middle and being ineffective.
And he makes Firmino more ineffective.
Yeah. Firmino was good. Firmino was...
Shunting Firmino out to the right-hand side hasn't worked all season.
If he's that insistent in playing Firmino wide and playing a striker in Origi in the middle, it has to be Sturridge, because we're not doing this mental high pressing anymore.
No.
So Sturridge is way better in tighter spaces anyway. And he doesn't have to track down loads of... You know, like...
When he came on yesterday, Sturridge is even dropping it. Sturridge is like, he wasn't really, I'm not going to sit on the edge of the box, I'm not going to wave the ball to me. He was dropping in, he was looking, he was trying to pop the ball off and make attacks happen. That's what we need.
I'd still say, and I'll stand by it, if we're going to play Sturridge, we play Origi and Sturridge as a two, and maybe
it's time about we are talking about Klopp being stubborn and going away from what he sees like as a, not to use the fucking stupid term, rock and roll football, but we haven't pressed in a long time. Whether it's down to injuries or whatever.
Well, teams are sitting so far back off.
Yeah, that as well. But
they don't want the ball. They're giving us the ball back.
He has 2 games now to grab by the scruff. There's massive pressure on Arsenal.
Players now, can't. They, like,
we could literally, 2 weeks ago we were sitting here and Phil turned around and says, we could be 5th by the time Man City and United play. Well, the other side of the coin now is, this time next week you could be saying, lovely lads, we're in Champions League. Because all we need is Arsenal to drop 1 point, and if we can get that result now on Sunday, we're in, we're home and host.
Yeah.
So what's Klopp going to do? Is he going to persist with the dogged way that he has for the last few weeks? Look, he's got results, but does he go 3 at the back? Play Trent, play Cloyne.
We can discuss that in the preview of the match in a little bit coming up, but... Andy, you know, and I don't want to labour on it, like, you did mention it, the most positive thing about yesterday's game was, again, we kept another clean sheet. Fucking Helium Feet managed to do his job.
Oh, no, the two of them tried that fucking for all very best. Did you see that? See, 5 minutes to go. Mignolet's doing kung fu kicks on the edge of his box. Milner is on fucking ice skates on the edge of his box.
We'll come back to Milner because we haven't discussed fucking Mighty Red's boots.
Good. I don't know. It was a clean sheet, and it's what? 2 in a row, and then there was the Palace game. We conceded 2. Bournemouth before that conceded 2. And then Stoke before that we didn't concede. Did we?
One. Walters
near post header.
But that's obligatory. So
anyway, like, we've lost one game over in Lens. Matip has a partnership.
But across the season as well.
In what, 20?
20 plus games.
20 plus games and conceding now less than a goal a game.
Yeah, but see, like, but see, that's because Matip's babysitting Lovren.
Yeah. It's a load of bollocks.
Like, having babysitting
look across, like, you know, you can say they're not a good partnership, but they're not, and they're both shit. Well, they're Lovren mainly is shy, but the facts speak for themselves, and that's the way it is. And we don't, and our fans that scrutinise Liverpool, like, to a high degree, don't scrutinise other teams. They don't sit down and watch 90 minutes of every other team. They're not analysing every defensive partnership. I don't know how many mad things happened in the Palace defence with Sacco and Kelly or Sacco and Tompkins
that didn't
that could have led to goals.
Either there's nobody,
but there was somebody else mopping up because there's loads of bodies everywhere.
But can I say something, right? If taking your point, right? Mm. So Matip and Lovren are conceding less than a goal a game as a partnership, right? Yeah. Both of them have had their fitness issues over the course of the season, right? If you extrapolated that over a 38-match season, we're going to concede about 35, 36 goals, which is an acceptable number for a defence.
And if they've only lost one game in 20-plus matches across the season, they might only lose two games.
Yeah, in a full season.
Now, the problem this isn't me advocating let's go with Matip and Lovren forever, but I'm just saying that one safe partnership.
But they're doing the job.
We need to develop a partnership which we can keep fit all season. But if we had a partnership that conceded 35 goals in a season and didn't get beaten more than once or twice, you're going to be challenged.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
You're winning leagues.
And see, the problem is that people can't get away from the concept of the defence without starting to bring bodies in and team Lovren, team not Lovren, right? And as you said, partnerships, especially between centre-backs, like when Hoopier, Henshaw, and who else was there at the time? Well, it was mainly
Carragher,
whoever it was, they all came in. But like, they were pretty interchangeable in terms of the centre-backs we had. Yeah. We don't have interchangeable centre-backs once you make Lovren and Matip over. We have a drop-off to Clavin. We gave Gomez a new contract, and it looks like we're doing what we did to Kevin Stewart with Gomez and saying, new contract, lad, we're protecting your value, right? And then you're looking at saying Lucas, because Gomez got signed a contract in January and hasn't been seen since. Clavin has come in and out, or Lucas has played centre back, right? So we literally have two centre backs that we've hinged our season on.
Yeah, it's
like there's no fucking other explanation to all of this other than the right player to keep for a long term wasn't available for Klopp. Like, Klopp isn't blind to this. He knows well that Lucas and Clavin aren't going to cut it. So does he go out and buy a player that he knows on a certain side he's probably going to have to replace in 18 months, or does he wait
I'd argue that. Like, I think Stephen Caulker is a better defender than Ragnar Klavan.
Probably, but look, just let me make my point.
Okay.
If we get Champions League football, it's paid off. If we don't get Champions League football, he's fucked up.
Pour in the face for him.
He can be slaughtered for January. And if we do, we can turn around and get Champions League and say he was lucky and everything else. But anyway, I think it was a mistake not to do it, no matter what way it goes. But if we get Champions League football, there we are. And in the summer, he can buy the player he wants to be in that defence for the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not one that's a short-term solution.
You just like to think he's not that stupid. Do you know what I mean? So hopefully,
because you think of his job at the moment, it's getting rid of everybody that doesn't suit his football and philosophy. And there's probably a good few of them. I mean, I think if you look at it on paper now, there's about 10 players to go.
Ultimately.
Yeah. Now some of them are out on loan and some of them are still semi involved, like Lucas, Clavin,
Sturridge,
Moreno, he's on the bench every week. Like, Milner's not going to last a left back, although he'd be still in the squad, like, you know. But there's a lot of players, like, if you write it down, there's probably like anywhere between 60 and 70 millions worth of players that needs to be sold. Like, that's a lot of players to get rid of. So I wouldn't be a favour of going into a January window and buying players and adding to that list of players you're going to have to replace. I'm sure in his own mind there's a handful of players, like, whoever we tried to sign last summer and ended up with Mane, it was a good plan B or C or D or whatever Mane was. But If you can do that, if you can pull it off in the summer and bring in the right centre backs and the right left back and every other and kind of the centre forward problem,
it'll all be justified.
You mentioned
it'll be all justified. We're Champions League football.
We've avoided it, and as Stephen has just arrived, that's where you can hear
hello.
Us. Hello, Stephen. How are you?
What's the crack, lads?
Good. We're just about to talk about the penalty.
Yeah.
Here's your microphone.
Thanks.
Say hello to the world.
Hello, world.
Yep.
There we go.
Nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with the penalty?
No.
Wasn't the best penalty.
Well, first of all, it wasn't a penalty. Terrible. Was it a penalty?
He knocks that ball 10 yards in the air with his arm.
He probably knew nothing about it, but it was a penalty.
Like, it's getting in the way of Emery Chan getting at that ball.
Yeah, but we weren't going to score anyway.
Of course not. We weren't going to score next week. It doesn't matter.
Oh, 20
Sean was at the match. We were never scoring.
I was there at 7:30 last night. So just looking sorry. Down, nobody sorry, there.
Please leave.
He was watching Shield practice in the warm-up. Nobody scored. No one scored.
If the two changes in 70 minutes were made on 50 minutes, I'd say we would have scored.
Yeah.
But they haven't been all season.
We might have conceded, though.
I heard today that James Milner hadn't missed a penalty since 2009.
Now,
that's
doubt it.
Some fucking time to
he's
go.
He's a great penalty taker.
But he wasn't on penalty for City.
But it's some moment to miss one.
Yeah, but it was fucking the gamesmanship then as well out of them. That annoyed me as well.
Look,
then your players going into the goal mount there, drinking their water bottles and all, and for no fucking reason.
It was an FA Cup final.
And then at the final whistle then, running around, jumping around like fast, Ali. I couldn't annoy the
most other teams hate us.
Southampton have to hate us. We keep robbing their players.
We are basically Southampton.
Hang on a second. We don't rob their players. We vastly overpay for their players.
It's like going into the shop to buy a fucking chocolate bar and giving them 20 quid and then saying that keeps on coming in here giving us 20 quid for that 1 euro bar.
Either way,
of chocolate.
Their players keep leaving and going to Liverpool.
Yeah.
So when they play them, they're going to want to prove that they're better than Liverpool.
Foster was out from the off yesterday.
I reckon Foster was playing for a move.
That's what
because supposedly in for trade, and we might as well win for four for 120 million.
That's why I asked Phil before the pod, like, does the 6 second rule still apply to goal kicks? Because it was 12, 15 seconds a goal kick. Every time.
It's never.
And then when
it's literally typical of Liverpool. It's only ever been applied against Mignolet in that one game. He's a fucking retard.
I'm not wasting time.
He has one in his hand here having a dream. He was over chatting to the lads. He still had it in his hand.
And a pair.
I'm not wasting time. Yeah.
We talked about the other night like that. Southampton are a good footballing side. That they do come and play football. They have some really talented players that can play ball.
But
they're not going to do it.
Honestly, God, from 60 minutes on yesterday, Foster was just pinging the ball straight
as
back
far
down.
Away as
And Gabbiadini isn't big and fucking physical. He normally kind of poacher. When they brought Long on, they actually looked like they could have fucking snatched something.
I
think that's what they were banking on. And
especially when Nathan Redmond, I actually went online to see what his odds were for first goal scorers, thinking this prick is coming on and absolutely guaranteed to score a late winner against
us. But like
us.
You said, the fact that they made an attacking substitution before we did is fucking shocking.
It's a great call.
It's one of those things. It was clear for nearly everybody. I don't think I've seen many people who didn't disagree with those exact two changes. Origi and Lucas off for Lallana and fucking
could have done
Sturridge.
It at half time.
Could have done it after 30 minutes. Lucas never should have started the game. You might have covered that already.
No, we were talking about Lucas in the game. He's irrelevant after 30 minutes anyway. So it's like.
But I'm not even going to start. I'm not knocking him because it's Lucas. I'm saying there was no need for him, Chan and Wijnaldum in that midfield.
It was all allowed.
Like, if you played Lallana, because Lallana came on after 8 minutes last week or whatever it was. If you played Lallana and only got 60 minutes out of him, 65 minutes, get the job done. Then shore up. If you've got a couple of goals behind you and you decide to take him off after 65, 70 minutes and bring Lucas on then, fine. No problem. Mm. Or if the game's going well for you and Southampton have given up at that stage and you want to give a young lad a run, give him a run instead. Like, it baffled me, that one.
But to be honest, like, while it wasn't the great, we did have chances to win the match. Sturridge. Yeah. Has two good chances. One is saved, one doesn't hit.
Yeah,
well.
He was unlucky. He was unlucky with the one that he nutmegged your man. Like it's exactly what you want Daniel Sturridge doing. He was unlucky. It fell onto his right foot, and it is straight at the keeper. But
2 weeks in a row, because he should have scored last week as well.
You know, I don't think he should have scored that one.
The Gomez was a great save.
Gomez was a great save, but I'd still... Daniel Sturridge,
maybe if he's playing on 20 minutes every fucking 6 weeks, he takes one of them chances.
He's not match sharp.
Nope.
So you can't, like, I'm not necessarily just sticking up for, yet again, the same way I wasn't knocking Lucas because it's him. I'm not sticking up for Sturridge because it's him, because I've been a big critic of him this season. But any player coming on and they're only on the pitch 10 minutes, you can't expect them to be as sharp. If that's a player only on the pitch 10 minutes, but he's normally starting, like Firmino came on and scored, that's fine. But if he hasn't been getting games, then he really
But that's
hasn't.
A chance that you don't have time to compare.
No, that's in front of
the
him.
The ball gets in front of it's in space, you just need to do something quick.
And he was unlucky.
It's not like he's got the skills.
He scores that. Yeah. Was it Bertrand got in the way?
Yeah.
It was someone got in and made it difficult for him. Yeah. If he's an extra yard of space, he's tucking that either side of force.
And it's not like he has the quality of Chan, like, where he can do it.
he
can stop time.
And
get
put a fade on upside down position.
Storage doesn't have them skills.
If he had the time continuum of Emre Chan, what he could have done was knocked it around the goalkeeper and then got down and headed it on the ground.
When he restarted the time, and people said, how did he do that?
But he was right in front of me, and now he's behind me, heading it on the ground. Yeah. What's that about?
It is amazing the way Emre Chan could do that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Every ball's a dead ball to Chan. That's how much time he has.
The fly.
The fly. I don't think we had. Did we have a clear cut chance in the
outside
game?
Of the penalty?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, obviously. My apologies. Shot on goal from 12 yards with no one around.
Except the keeper.
Yeah, fair enough. That may have been a fair.
I don't think penalties actually go down as clear cut chances. In stats world, which just makes
Falk it. Made a good save from Grujic.
What you say about stats? People are very annoyed with us. Stat makers. Yeah, it's me that says it.
But Grujic, free header.
Yeah, it was a decent save, though, as well, wasn't it?
That was a good save. That's a good, like, if that's Mignolet saving at the other end, we're going fair fucks to him. You know what I mean?
We aren't. We're going, wow, that's amazing save. Isn't it? Back is Manuel Neuer.
Force half.
No.
Miguel Neuer.
Lallana had a bit of it.
Well, not Coutinho had a header save by Foster. Tipped it over the bar.
I was at the beach. I'm pretending I saw the match.
Yeah, he was in Greystone. Did you watch him? Macchiatos.
You're probably staying closer to the pitch than I was.
I can see you. I was closer than you to the pitch.
Yeah, you're probably are as well.
Where were your main stand?
Up at the top of the main stand. I was freezing me balls off. As the says, Lee Mason, you prick. Lee fucking Mason. Sean, that's Bobby Madley.
Beside him with the programme.
Just give him the eyes.
The fucking Gladiator is closer now.
It was. Listen, it's fucking disappointing because you just wanted them to do the job.
Mm. We got off.
They do that job, and then Arsenal win that game. You're just going, that's top four. Thanks very much.
Yeah, we got off.
We can go and get a draw against West Ham next week.
We got off the hook, though, didn't we? Arsenal, we did to an extent.
We're
100%.
Moving on because we've done all the bits in the match, but like. You know, after that game, it is fucking utter deflation.
Make that stop. Make what stop?
Rocking.
What's rocking? Is that freaking you?
It's not rocking.
But it doesn't do anything.
It's absolutely pointless because no one's listening to the headphones.
We've nobody on Skype.
It was rocking, though.
Trev only listens the next day.
You have the shakes from all the sugar. Where are the mics rocking? The table's rocking.
Someone else eats sweets.
Someone else
eats 42 pieces of vanilla fudge.
It's not vanilla. It's vanilla.
Vanilla fudge, the best kind.
It's not how you spell vanilla, no.
No, it is not. There is no second eye in vanilla.
Milia Vanilla.
Yeah.
But look, the Arsenal.
Trillia and Manilia. Yes.
Charles is all sweet.
Yeah. Are they
Lucas? Fucking hell. Fucking hell.
Peel an orange or a pair of boxing gloves.
I used to have a teacher in school. Harry Mond was his name. Mr. Mond. Did you go to that? Was he gone from CBS when you...
I didn't go to fucking CBS.
All right, shows.
he used to
have a fucking pack of digestives in his drawer, right? All the time, a pack of sweet meal digestives. I knew they were the red ones because I used to rob out all the digestive if he wasn't around. But he used to have a pack in the drawer, and fucking He'd be there teaching the class. He'd be going, okay, you fucking page 8, read away. And you'd know he was at it. And he'd be there. And the hand would go into the drawer. And he'd cup a digestive. He'd have the digestive cup. And he'd go, the people can't see this, but he'd go like this. He'd go, yeah, and you read, yeah, and onto you now. You read there. Yeah, and he'd go, I want the whole digestive in the go.
Cookie, cookie, cookie.
What a fucking worker. Everybody knew he was there. Just eat your fucking biscuits, will you? It's grand, no one cares. We're at 10. we don't have any decision in here.
We don't care.
Yeah, you can vote.
Normally in those type of schools, they give him the biscuits. Yeah. Soggy ones.
Jesus. That's correct.
Get that in here.
Well done, my son. Anyway,
lads. Oh,
you guys.
Anyway,
Mr. Miyagi at the
Aussie. Chinese Christian brother. Die, Alcosa.
Hello.
In the name of the Father. In the name of the Father. It's like soggy biscuit.
Yeah. In the name of the Father. August on week. August. Spilled milk. Amen.
Right. After the game, devastation. Man. Just throwing it away again.
DEFCON 3, meltdown levels.
Arsenal play United. Mourinho says he's putting out a weakened side. I looked at that United team.
That was this morning.
200 million.
I would mind that United weakened team. It had fucking
that
Mata.
Fucking, that wasn't Mkhitaryan. A weakened team.
It was 9 changes.
Mata,
might be 9 changes. But look at the players he's brought in. Like, if we were able to make 9 changes that well.
Their front three was 100 million quid, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mkhitaryan, Mata, and was it Mata, Martial, and Mkhitaryan.
The goalkeeper was more than our two goalkeepers put together.
But it makes a difference, two goalkeepers put together. You talk about a weakened team, and then you say there's 100 million quid's worth of players playing in their front three.
Yeah.
Sorry, now how much is Herrera? 30 million?
It's probably, I think the United team was, I think the United team cost more than the Arsenal team to put together.
Yeah, they did, that's right.
For a second, they're a weakened team.
Yeah.
Just because they had a young fella playing a fucking right foot.
That's it, that Tenenbaum or something, the Royal Tenenbaums was playing a right foot.
But it just so happens one of our youth players is playing better than the rest of them, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That means it makes way for Martial.
It's a fucking, it's a cop out.
He didn't even.
Well, lads, I hate to say it, but the spectre of Arsenal starts to loom. Top four, we're getting to the back end of the season.
Yeah.
Every year. And
they always finish strong. You have to hope that the teams that they normally, fuck up against, which is the West Brom, the Stoke.
This season.
Every season they fuck up against them. They
and this is what has me worried, right?
Stoke, stop, Augie.
They always go on this mini run at the end of the season.
The problem is the teams they're playing now that normally would give them a hard game don't give a bollocks. They're safe. They don't care.
Yep.
You can see that from Stoke at the weekend. You can see it from West Brom at the weekend. They might have got something out of their games, but they're played at pedestrian pace. You know what I mean?
And I'm looking at this saying, last year Arsenal were, Spurs had second wrapped up, and it was about Spurs and Leicester, and could Spurs get close to Leicester to win the league? Somehow Arsenal finished second in the league.
Yeah, but like Arsenal are on a steady decline, and their fans know it. Last year they got second with 71 points. If they get 71 points this year, we'd be laughing.
Yeah, but if they get more.
If they get 71 points this season, we'd be laughing.
But my point is, Andy,
they could win that four games.
If they get 72, they'd be laughing.
No, they won't.
No, because
then they won't be on a steady decline,
yeah,
and we're going to get
that's
six
my point.
More.
No, but I'm saying to you now, Arsenal's last four games, they're playing it's the ideal opposition.
Everton was a failure on the last day.
But sure, of course they will.
You play fucking Seamus Coleman and goal or something.
Race for seventh, didn't you?
But like, genuinely, you're looking at potentially Arsenal winning four games, which means that instead of us having this wrapped up with a game to go, we've put ourselves in a stupid predicament.
Yeah,
and we've opened the door to Arsenal.
If Arsenal win four games, and like, if we don't win our two,
then
it's more likely that we will win our two than it will be that they win their four.
Yeah,
but it's most likely that we'll drop points, they'll drop points.
And it'll come down to,
like, I fancy us to get four points anyway. And I think Arsenal will be lucky to get 4 points in our next two.
We get 4 points, we finish on 74, yeah?
Yeah.
When do United play Spurs?
This weekend.
This Sunday, is it?
They're gone, United are done.
I'm telling you now, I fancy...
The game in hand would get them 2 points adrift of a sport. I think there are far more important things going on there.
As
Mourinho says, two games during the Champions League.
I said it all season long, we don't get 75 points, we don't get Champions League.
They're in the exact same position as us. We win two games.
Well, we can't get 70
League.
Points.
No, I'm saying we had to get 75 points plus to get Champions League. And
when did you say that?
I've said it all season long.
Yeah, but that changes all the time.
It's not because if we end up...
Because on the last day of the season, we might only need another point.
70 now.
Yeah. I'm saying to you now, and I'll stand by it, 75 points plus get to Champions League. We don't get 75 points plus, we are putting our chance of a Champions League place in jeopardy.
If we get 74 points, Arsenal out of the last four games need to...
Win them all.
That's unlikely.
I don't think it is.
Well, by the time we play, Arsenal have played
twice. Could be a point behind us. Arsenal have played twice before we play West Ham at the weekend.
But they could have. There is the other side that they could have imploded.
If they could drop points.
If
they drop a single point between now and Sunday and we win,
if they
it's
drop points
league.
In one game,
yeah,
and then what will happen is we'll say, okay, all we need to do is go out and win, and then we'll lose 2-0, and then it'll come down to the last game of the season again, because that's Liverpool football club.
I'm sure it's a banker. It's Middlesbrough at home. We never drop points in those matches.
Jesus, like, so much flapping. We'd be grand.
I'm not flapping. Lads, but literally, I just noticed.
You're flapping. I'm talking about the mean of Liverpool over the last 7 years.
LFC fan base has been in fucking meltdown since Christmas, and we're still torn in the league. Like,
we're 90% there.
Yeah,
that's still a 10% chance. Hillary Clinton was 90% going to get elected as president of America.
Yeah, but like, if you
England was never going to do Brexit.
There's a lot of fans
now.
90%
about to ride a really hot looking bird, and then it never happened. No, okay, I'll ask someone else.
100%. Always 100%.
Always 100%.
Lads, West Ham. And on that, West Ham. The Arsenal games, how big of an impact will they have in that West Ham game?
That win. That
if should Arsenal win both of them, what does that do to our team?
It shouldn't do anything. Truthfully, it shouldn't do
shouldn't,
anything.
Shouldn't, but that's...
Unfortunately, they don't have the mental strength, and Klopp was... Like, I heard Klopp giving out today or yesterday, whenever it was. No, mind the dry pitch. Giving out about Southampton coming out and defending so deep and not having a go. And I just thought to myself, this is absolute bollocks and not what I would have expected from him. Nah, it's what I would have expected from Rodgers.
Yeah.
And that's no disrespect
or Mourinho.
To him. Or Mourinho, or someone. Yeah. But Klopp is the exact person I didn't think would be coming out with this shit. And it's just a cover-up for his own failings and the failings of his team. And that's ultimately what it is. People can talk about progress we've made, whatever it is. Yes, we've made progress on last season. That's like saying, you were nearly relegated last season and this year.
It's very hard not to make progress in last season. Because last season was the worst Premier League in I don't know how many years.
Abysmal. We gave up on the league with six games to go because of
and we
the
could have still
league
got
final.
Into the Champions League. Have we not given up?
I know, but you know, we were playing fucking half teams.
7 points extra in our last five games would have got us into the Champions
League. But you're right, like, Klopp can't exactly say that, and he's not doing it himself. Like, we are not going out to win games at the moment.
No, we're
going out to hopefully win games.
Pedestrian, we're fucking pedestrian the whole way through it.
Way too patient.
And Jamie Carragher said it yesterday, and he was dead right. And I know we spoke about it in the WhatsApp earlier. Like, it was right. Lucas, 8 touches to pass it to Emre Can to take fucking 8 touches to pass it back
to
Lucas.
Back to him,
You know what I mean? It was just that tippy tappy tip.
But again, the players in front, we're talking about how good Firmino is and how good Coutinho
Fair
is.
Enough.
None of them are shown for the ball.
Fair enough. So then it's the manager's decision to fucking change things.
Exactly.
Why, if he insists on playing Firmino, why is he not playing through the middle?
Yep.
Where he is supposedly better.
And he pulls defenders out.
He has done nothing out wide all season long. It's banging your fucking head
off. We're not doing anything that unlocks
okay,
Hang on.
I want to bring it on to West Ham.
But before you go to West Ham, here's a question about Southampton. You might have said this earlier. You said, we played Southampton, played two up top with a diamond in midfield, and beat them fucking 6-1. Yet we revert to type. It's like playing
four
fucking
games we haven't scored.
It's like we're playing Championship Manager on fucking autopilot. You know when you go on a holiday, leave the team to look after itself. Just go out with the same fucking dodos banging their head against the wall like the fucking idiots. And that's what it's like.
Okay, look, bringing it on to West Ham, because you know, Sean said earlier, West Ham come out and play football. Sean Bilic is a very fucking
astute.
Yeah,
I don't think they will come out and play football. There's no way West Ham come out.
He saw a plan to beat Spurs the other week, and that was to press them high. He looked at the teams that had beaten Spurs this year, and they just went bald headed at Spurs and wouldn't let Spurs to play out and dominate the game. He's going to look at how teams have beaten Liverpool all this year, and it was nothing to do with pressing us high and trying to win the ball back out.
It's the only way you're going to give us a chance to beat you.
Yeah. Mm.
He's going to sit back. He's got a giraffe. He's got loads of giraffes. And it's Andy Carroll, who's a horse. So he's going to put a giraffe and a horse up front. and he's going to lump balls up to those, and he's going to start, camp the rest of the team in the 18-yard box.
Three hippos in the box, in his own box.
At some stage, Lucas is going to push Andy Carroll in the back, somewhere around 26, 27 yards, either side of the box.
Like what Henderson did against them at Anfield.
Yeah. And then what's going to happen is they're going to get your man Lanzini or whoever it is to whip in a free kick, and Giraffe and Andy Carroll will be in the box there. As air defenders just go running around, fucking getting back to autopilot and championship manager, just boof, 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 boof. And next minute, the ball's in the back of the net. So, Sean, how does that not happen?
Klopp needs to set up differently for the start.
Absolutely.
I don't think he should be playing this fucking 4-3-3 show. You know, formations don't mean a whole lot, but I'd probably look at playing two wing backs. As if in, I go with Moreno and Trent, that's a fucking huge show. And I play two strikers.
I meant to say that that's a huge show. You don't just make it yourself.
No, yeah. It is. But throw
I'm
quote.
Be making a huge show. No,
throw it like fucking. Throw a spanner in the wood. Take the risk. And we've been saying he's been playing the same, but take a risk. Take a risk if it has to come.
Clapping is pretty much getting all the interviews. I'm making a huge show today. Watch this show.
He won't though.
Who plays in the back as a tree?
I'd play
Milner. You haven't thought this
Chan.
Yet.
No, I'd play Chan.
Matip either side of Lovren.
Both sides.
Like yesterday.
We're going to tell West Ham we're playing three at the back. Two Matip. No, actually, there are only one Matip.
I'd play Matip, Lovren, and Chan in front of them. And then I'd play
a pretendy back three. So Chan could play as a libero.
Yeah. Now tranquilly as that blaster the master. Iramendi.
Don't talk about Iramendi. It upsets me.
So you're playing Trequartista Libero, Chan.
Just change something, go for it.
But that's
change your fucking middle three so that there's a bit
I
more.
I just
interest.
Play fucking Lallana the way we've been playing and play Lallana and Sturridge. Actually, I probably wouldn't even do that.
He's gonna play the same team.
Just play Sturridge, you'd be grand.
Why would you not play Lallana? Put Lucas in there?
Yeah, it's away, so like it's worked. It's worked though.
So he's
going to
play Lucas because I think he feels that Lucas is good in the air, and he's going to like you look at West Ham. They're going to just bombard us in the air.
And Andy Carroll said that Lucas is the toughest centre back he's ever played.
I love points.
And
I love sugar.
When I was making points, I say Lucas is the best centre half I've ever played against.
I think around 5 years. Andy, that's because you're injured, mate. You ain't even. I fucking don't know myself. No.
But I'm telling you now. Andy Carroll said, yeah, Lucas is the best centre back you ever played against. Yeah, right. So then,
Andy, have you not played a few international games? No.
Say all the boys in the West Ham dressing room going, you're some kind of piss.
Say Cannavaro's there scratching his head. Do I not play against here for Italy?
Remember that ponytail wanker.
Yeah. John Terry's there going, what? honestly. You know, you're looking at this, you're saying three at the back. I think there isn't a Liverpool fan now who wouldn't want to see us do the same thing again and again and again because it's not working.
I don't want to see us do three at the back either.
But, you know, in our last three aways, which you won with Lucas and the team, the only change would be, like, oh, I mean, Sean's suggestion's grand and all that, and there is loads of suggestions like that. But I wouldn't be totally adverse to playing Lucas again, but Origi cannot play through the middle again. That cannot happen.
I have a big shout, right?
That can't happen.
No, it's not big at my show.
Wait, I have a big show. Right.
Okay, make a big show.
Ah! Rory! I don't know why I'm screaming. No, it's not a big show, but I just think, yeah, you're right. Don't get me started. Don't get me started on that fucking stand.
Played well.
You can't play.
Played well on Sunday.
Yeah. The stand played well. All right. I can't wait until we're shooting into the Dalglish stand this season.
I'll play in length.
That's why they're putting a new pitch down.
plan for next season. Yeah. We want to involve more of our players because we only have 14 in the squad. So we're going to play 2 7-a-sides on either side, and then a half game swap them over
to make it fair.
Yeah, it's just like Belgian kids football, you know.
Go on.
For the changes that he made at 65, 70 minutes, whenever he made them yesterday, that's how you have to start the game. It has to be. Lallana
starts the game and then makes the change after a minute.
Yeah, just start the game and then immediately go, ref, hang on, I made a mistake, sorry. Just take them 2 off, will you? They don't count as subs though, do they?
No,
alright. Lallana and Sturridge start, and Origi's being awful.
Who are you dropping?
Origi and Lucas. Right. Lucas doesn't start for me. Listen, at no point in the first half of the season did we say we're playing away, let's play Lucas. Now we're trying to hold out
but
for
we did say let's play Henderson, Wijnaldum and Chal.
No, I never advocated dropping Lallana from the middle of the park. All season long I haven't once advocated him coming out of the middle because he's been pissed when he's been
Chan is out. Chan is out to do
Chan was never in there with Wijnaldum and Chan, you were saying, or Chan was never in there with Henderson and Wijnaldum in the sense of when you were saying it, because at the time Henderson was playing well and Chan's form was poor. Or when Wijnaldum wasn't having great games, so you were looking at him. Lallana's been a constant in there. So for me, it would be Chan, Wijnaldum, Lallana. And that gives the legs of Wijnaldum and Lallana for Chan to be able to sit back and do a little bit more. And Chan has got the ability to hit that fucking 60, 70-yard ball to open up a defence. And has had... he doesn't get it right all the time. That's okay.
But he has in the long.
But Lallana has the ability. You saw the ability for Lallana to pick out those little passes and try and play that ball. It's what we've done well all season. I know we don't have Mane there, but that ability to find that ball between a fullback and a centre half is the fucking... You lads know, it's the most hated ball for a fucking defence to have to deal with. That little angular ball in between a centre half and a fullback with a left winger or a right winger coming in to attack that space. No. Who's taking it? Taking him? Who's taking the space? It just fucks everything
up. And if it's done right,
even if he doesn't score, he drags the
whole
defense out.
Is that the half space?
That's the half space.
Right, lads.
We just need to improve the XG going into something.
We need to do something. We need to turn the XG dial up. We need to get the cheat out. You know the cheat?
The cheat code.
Left, L1, L2, R1, R2, triangle square,
up,
X.
Up, down.
Up, up, down. If you don't know, you do down, down, up, you fuck yourself
up.
Yeah.
You go 3-0 down immediately.
Yeah. Up, up, down.
Fucking dope.
It's the only way it happens. Because that then gives you infinite chance creation.
Hopefully, a club comes out as football manager holiday then by Sunday and makes a fucking change.
Yeah. Would you like to resume? Yes.
Okay,
when you let your season run down because you don't want to play the games. You're like, Jace, there's a chance I might miss out on top 4 here. Fuck it. I'm back in.
My big shout is to play Ojo. In the front three. Scored again.
For Firmino?
No, put Firmino back central. Take Origi out. Put Ojo there. We keep going on about pace and getting bought past players.
But that's just mad.
It is. But it's the mad show. And that's the one. But I'm looking at the midfield. I know he's not going to drop Lucas. There's no point in me even saying leave Lucas out. Right?
Does he leave Lallana on the bench again?
He might play Lallana instead of Origi.
He didn't look fit yesterday.
I wouldn't like to see that. I think Lallana
in the middle... Weaving the spells.
That's the noise he makes as he goes past us. What are you doing?
In your face.
Someone else shout nuts there. I'm saying women, right?
That's the noise them horns make.
Women.
We need an LFC soundbar.
When he's in the middle, he can do loads of pressing and all that. And when he came on, he done loads of pressing.
I agree with you. I think much more, we need a high tempo centre midfield.
His eyes are gone bleary and everything.
high tempo centre midfield.
Sure, all over the
stick
show.
Lallana in there. Higher tempo, Chan at the base. Your man, Wijnaldum, I'd play Klein left back and Alexander right back.
Not a bad show. That's a big show, Phil.
That's a big show.
Yeah. Where's Ojo? Left or right?
Where?
On the pitch.
Did I name him? Yeah.
He's just taking out the player he said it was 5 minutes ago.
Front three.
He's just scrolling his hit and see he's got for the 23s and says, fucking give him a game.
Yeah. Put him in. I thought he would have had a role. He was unforced to get injured. I thought he did very well for us at the back end of last season. I think he'd be worth a shout.
He's got a goal in him. It's not going to happen.
Very intelligent player and plenty of pace. And
probably
won't
need me in the squad.
One thing we're missing
since Mane has gone missing is that pace in the front three. Origi seems to have lost his pace, by the way. I'm telling you.
He's as lost his ability to play football altogether.
Ernie is like, I've never been like
blown away
like this way. No, I have. I've never been like this with one player where if 1 minute I'm gone and he's like, he's going to be one of the best.
Yeah.
He's going to be a great like
and
forward.
Then become the shit.
And then, holy shit, I'm lost again.
Yeah.
I think it's just, it's become apparent now. He has to play wide. He's no good with two players around him.
Yeah.
If he isolates his man, he can do loads of magic.
Get him away.
You know, get the ball in front of him. He can use the bit of pace he has. Mm. I think when he's out wide, he can hold the ball up well. When he's through the middle, it's just bananas. Like.
Right, the last bit on this, West Ham, like, know how to give us a good send-off. So Fonte's out tonight saying they want to ruin our Champions League dream.
Did he really say that?
Yeah. Like, in fairness, air players are great for...
Who said that?
Your man Jose Fonte.
What's he saying?
They'll be torn down.
The fella who went from Southampton to West... He's probably just annoyed that he's the only Southampton player to sign for another team that wasn't...
He took Lovren away from him.
He's like, they clearly needed a centre-half. Yet they still didn't bother their home. How bad must I be if Liverpool didn't buy me?
Yeah. They're looking at Van Dijk. They brought Lovren. They won't go near me. What did I do?
That's probably where Lovren got the idea to talk shit before a big game for then, is it?
I don't,
probably got it from him, so hopefully it works.
Yeah. Like literally, he's already, if all Klopp has to do is look at your man, they want to ruin their dream. Boom. And another good thing would
be that's probably be like, oh, we probably shouldn't go out then. Probably best we don't play this match. But we just here, ring him. Imagine Klopp ringing fucking Village on a Saturday night.
I get the bodies,
and our pitch is off. One of the lads is after crashing on the M50. I don't have the bodies. You won't. Do you want to split the points? We ring the secretary. Just split the points. We'll be slabbing. Yeah. Okay. Grand job. Yeah. Yeah.
Genuinely, would you now looking at this game, looking at West Ham? The fact that they haven't conceded a goal now in 5 matches, the fact that we haven't beaten West Ham since 2015, are you confident going into this match on Sunday?
No, of course not.
Okay, Andy?
Who did they play in the last 5 games?
Everton.
I know they did.
Stoke.
Did they win, didn't they? Did a big win against Arsenal or something, did he? Did they beat Arsenal?
On Spurs.
Yeah.
Didn't beat Arsenal, did he?
Spurs.
That looked like a bit of a cup final to them though the other night, didn't they?
The last time they conceded a goal, right? Okay, lads, Andy, the last time they scored a goal was against Sunderland. It was the middle of April sometime.
The 5th, I think it was.
No, that was the Arsenal match. They conceded 3 against Arsenal, and he went to a back 3 then and had a clean sheet against Swansea. He went down to 10 men against Sunderland in the next game, conceded 2. And then they haven't conceded a goal since. That was West Ham, Stoke, and Tottenham.
They conceded
a goal, and we've scored nearly the most in the league.
Yeah, but we haven't scored like in about.
Yeah, but we scored nearly 80% of them before November.
No, that sounds bollocks, but fuck it, we're gonna still win.
Yeah,
like yesterday.
Yeah.
All right, I didn't say.
Whatever. Right, we're not going to win. Right, you happy?
Yeah.
Right, Grant. Cheers, right. We're not going to win. Fuck it. Let's abandon the whole.
I told you, just call Village on Saturday night. Save the fucking airfare,
Shawnee.
Split the points.
We're not going to the
a draw is
going to
be enough anyway because Arsenal are going to drop points this week. Okay. 4 and total.
Yeah. Hopefully, what happens is we limp over the line to top 4.
Just, I don't care how we get over the line to top 4, just get over it.
And then...
It
really comes down to the manager and what he is actually capable of doing.
Sean?
Not confident at all.
No.
How could you be confident?
No, only
fucking insane people are confident to going into that game at the weekend. Genuinely, like... Even the most
that's positive. What the Liverpool fucking fan base is.
I know,
a bunch of insane people.
Fucking mental asylum it is. But
actually, let me get this straight. West Ham haven't conceded a goal in 5 games.
3 games.
3 games.
That's fair enough. Well, we haven't conceded 1 and 2.
Yep.
Right. Grant. So we're going to make a 3 on Sunday.
No, no.
And then we're as good as them at stopping goals.
All right. What about scoring? They've only scored 1 in 3 games.
And we've scored.
Go on.
How many? 1, 2.
Two.
It's going to be a humdinger, isn't it?
It's going to be proper end to end this
Super Sunday.
Fucking
end to end goal.
David
fest.
James and Shaka Hislop
can't be any worse
than kicking
yesterday.
At each other.
0.5-0.
Is it a big pitch?
Which?
Yeah.
That West Ham pitch.
It's the Olympic Stadium.
I know, but is the
there's
pitch
javelin
big?
And everything going on.
I know.
Actually, if they had javelin going on during the match, I might liven it up a bit.
People running around on the track.
He's getting nailed in the fucking leg. Be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
End the match with 4v3.
Chapeau.
Yeah. Gunk.
Right, anyway, I think we're going to do 1-0.
1-0.
Yeah. We're
going to do a 1-0.
Right. We're going to do a 1-0.
Steve-o.
1-1 draw. Bring it to the last day of the season.
1-1 draw.
1-1 draw. I actually predicted in the intro, which I recorded for the first time ever before the pod,
That you said that
we wouldn't win.
Brilliant. Well, there you go. And I wasn't even here for it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think we get top four anyway. And I'm going to be the fucking end of season pod is just going to be absolute carnage at that stage. There's going to be more. There's actually going to be baseball bats and everything in the bunker.
I'd say that could be the case anyway, whether we get top four or not.
Right. So, lads, sunny weekend. This weekend, the weather's not looking great. Did you enjoy it? Did you?
I did. Had a great day.
Your hair's going very fair, fella. What's going on with
that? It's the sun.
Are you putting that sort of, remember the lemon thing into it that used to make it blonde?
Sure. People keep on asking me, am I dying? And I'm grey as fuck. Mm. Yeah, I'm just dying half of it and leaving the other half grey.
Andy, how'd you get up to the weekend? Did you do anything nice?
Today was also a lovely day and I went to the zoo.
Did you go to the zoo? Yeah. Is this now, well, Dublin Zoo's been renovated.
There are many West Ham players there.
It's a lot better these days than it used to be.
It's a lovely zoo.
Yeah. Yeah.
If anyone's listening, I know we don't have any listeners, but if anyone's listening, go to Dublin Zoo.
What's sponsored by them now, sure.
It is a good old zoo, in fairness. Yeah. I haven't been it in years, but.
It's a zoo that.
I watched that zoo programme the other time. The amount of work and time and effort they put in, like, huge amount of money gone into.
And what people don't realise is that Dublin Zoo is the only zoo in Europe that lets the lions go wild in the summertime.
Yeah,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, the lions are allowed to roam around Phoenix Park. Yeah, that's why they have all the deer there. They allow them to eat the deer. It's natural hunting to help the predator instincts.
For 2 months, they allow lions out. They keep them on chains. Like, they keep them on chains.
No, they don't keep them on chains. They're on, they're on collars.
Yeah, you know the bull's collars. They put that in 2 years ago. You know the bull's collars like you get for a dog. Yeah. They just turn that up to 10. And then when the lion goes out to the part where people are, it just goes, and he comes back in again. So they learn.
That real?
Yeah.
That's fucking amazing.
How else are you going to keep the numbers of deer down in the park? It's unnatural to go shooting them. So they let the lions out to go with them.
They don't allow hunting in the Phoenix Park. You can't go shoot any deer, and it's fucking overpopulated. So they let the lions out. The lions
roam and hunt.
Take them out. There's only about seven.
They take them in at about 11 o'clock for the doggers.
Lions aren't greedy predators. Lions will only.
There's only about seven lions in the zoo, isn't there?
Is there even that?
One took his collar off. No, he wasn't. He was on the Lewis getting on the way up.
The red line.
Yeah, on the Lewis red line. Yeah. I heard he didn't even make it.
Fortune's Town anyway. So.
I heard he got as far as Fatty Man. That was it. He says, fuck this, I'm going back.
I'm going back to the zoo.
Think where I live is a zoo.
It's less dangerous in there. Yeah,
yeah.
But there's a lovely bit. Do you know where the flamingos are in the middle?
Yeah.
So around,
you know, they're not real.
They're all plastic.
Yeah, and radio control.
Funny enough, they never get close enough to the people to actually see if they are robots.
They're only robots.
They're in the corner. They were gone for ages because the board flew. The penguins still aren't back. Yeah. But
it takes them longer to get over.
There's a little sand area.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be into the zoo every week for the last 2 years or something like that. Yeah. And I found two places.
Much of a life then, do you know?
And you didn't know the lions were all free?
What? I didn't know that. Well, they're always where they're supposed to be.
You obviously don't get. Do you go between July and August?
Oh, when the kids are there, no. Yeah. Okay. Like, when kids are off.
That's when they're out.
It's dickheads.
He is dickheads.
Born free.
They really let the lions out. That's the name of the pod anyway. But around where the flamingos, there's a little area, sand area.
But they aren't real flamingos.
It's not even visible.
We're not the zookeepers.
Is it a really good bunker?
You can play, but it's kind of like you just wouldn't notice it going into the flamingos. And I went in there and I just lay down in the sand for about an hour. I had my shoes and socks off and it was grey. I had my feet bent into
the
sand.
Where was your son?
He was just building sandcastles.
With the flamingos. Which aren't real.
Nobody comes in. It's weird. Mm. It's weird, like, and you're in the middle of the zoo in a sun trap. Sun's right over your head.
One day in the hip.
Have you any left? Andy, have you any left?
Left what?
Any hash left, man? Smoking
mushrooms, brewing a pot of it in the fucking boot of his car on the way in.
It's gonna be the best zoo ever.
Where's the lions gone? Well, yeah, no.
That's better.
So yeah, well, that's great. So if you're in Dublin Zoo and you want to go see the imaginary flamingos. And no lions.
Because they won't be there in July and August.
No, they will. Just go for a walk in Phoenix Park. And remember, they have the collars on. So if you see a lion, don't worry about it. You can go up and pet them.
You just got to stay over the. There's a boundary line. If you're this side of the boundary line, you're grand. Go to the other side, you're meat.
Yeah.
But bring your own food into the zoo. That's my advice. Bring a picnic. Because the food is shy and mad expensive. And you know what else is expensive? Ice cream.
Yeah, but that's especially in the summertime.
Do you see those new yolks that Ben and Jerry brought out?
No,
they're Ben and Jerry biscuity sandwiches things.
Yeah, like an ice burger.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. Fiver.
Fiver.
A fiver.
Jesus,
you want to be getting a fucking reach around off Ben and Jerry for a fiver? Fuck's sake.
How much are they in the shop?
I'd say they're only a couple of euro.
My God.
A fiver. Mad
extortion.
Absolute madness.
Did you buy one?
Yeah, but like that's a discovery.
Yeah, I got one anyway. But yeah. Like, I just want to give out about
they're
it.
They're very nice. They're very nice. If you can get them cheap,
are they fiver's worth? Are they?
Yeah, they are. It's only fiver. Like it's probably some point, but still.
The Aldi Jen and Berry ones are just as nice.
Jen and Berry. Yeah.
Right, gents. Good evening. Good night.
That is done.
That's us done.
That was shy.
Back into next week.
What's the worst part ever?
Okay, so there you have it. That was the pod this week. As ever, thanks again to the Astro Park for letting us come in and do this rubbish on a weekly basis. Great lads. As come up to Dale, he said he's going to give you a 27.3% discount if you come up and say the magic word this week. The magic word, of course, is Origi. So say Origi and you get a 27.3% discount at the Astro Park for all your five-a-side, imaginary seven-a-side, bouncy football, golf, foot table, foot and all the foots in the world. This week we're sponsored by the good people in the Horse and Chapel. Those guys are down in Tullamore, and of course the Tullamore, they said to come down there. If you don't like horses and you like chapels in a bar, this is the type of bar for you. They do a great pint of Morphy's and a pint of Beamish. Wouldn't touch that Guinness malarkey. And of course, they lay on a special for you as well. Depending on what's out there in the field during the week, it could be anything. Rat to hedgehog to chicken. Right, so then a big thanks as ever to Andy, Steve-O and Sean for living here. That was the pod. We hopefully look forward to seeing. I know the lads, as ever, are predicting wins, and except Steve-O. Let's just hope that we get the 3 points next week, and just know that we only need to nail 3 points in our last match to get us into the Champions League. But by Jesus, have we dragged this out for long enough? Come on, Liverpool! Come on, the Reds! Good night and God bless.
Just delete that whole part just in case.
Just in case.
Fuck it. Snap your fucking Mac in two. Just in case.
That was rolled, like, really.
Turn off your laptop. We're on staycation.
I'm on TotalWine.com. They have so many rosés, chardonnays, and proseccos. It feels like a real vacation.
Wondrous selection, helpful guides, ridiculously low prices. Total Wine and more.
Hey, imagine if all your frustrations about advertising your business could be solved right now. You should know that podcast listeners are more engaged and higher converting than any other advertising medium. So try AdHub today and reap the rewards of Spreaker's self-advertising platform. It makes it as effortless as ever to be heard by thousands, regardless of the listening app they use. Visit Spreaker.com/AdHub. That's Spreaker.com/AdHub. And start using your advertising dollars in an impactful way.
Sports Social Podcast Network.